And now I'm joined by a longtime observer and analyst of Nevada politics to discuss more of what we heard last night. Fred Locken is a professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Fred, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Will.
Fred, going to the State of the State address, we knew our second-term governor would focus on fixing Nevada's poor-performing education system, and that would involve raising taxes in some way. Were you surprised at what Governor Sandoval actually rolled out?
No, I think that there was a broader vision and a greater dream before the results of the November 4th election came in. That was a game changer for the Republicans, of course, but even within the structures of the Republican Party and how you could forge the coalition you would need for a bold new plan. So it required a little reality, a little political readjustment, which I think his administration and team have been working on very hard ever since, just really finding out where the support still could be. On the good side, the governor has feathered together a coalition that recognizes we can no longer kick the can down the road, that this is our time, this is our moment to actually step up and do what has needed to be done for a long time. And I think in his speech last night and in the budget that he submitted, he has started that process. This is not the tremendous, incredible, all-in-one solution. It begins a journey and will require further legislative action and further sessions and further leadership by whoever the governor will be, because it is just such a large chunk, ultimately requiring such a change in the way that we've thought, that he began the journey of changing the culture in Carson City last night. And within that sense, that was bold. And the proposals that he made were really what Nevada has been needing for a long time.
And what do you think about the specific proposals, making the sunset taxes permanent and raising taxes on business?
Well, that was it. I mean, we've been in this problem each of the sessions now since they had put such a short window on those taxes. We've been facing the extension, and it's always the first thing that hangs. It's the pall that you begin with a legislative session, because if those aren't extended, you start with such a hole that the entire legislative session would have to be focused in either, you know, how do you address the hole, or what do you cut further in state government to address the hole? So he's doing the responsible thing. Those taxes have been in place. The sky has not fallen. Those apparently are reliable sources of revenue for the state. So that is like the moment. Yes, let's make those permanent. Then the notion of where he gets the money next. You know, personally, I've always believed in the notion of people who understand finance doing the studies and bringing a recommendation back to the legislature so that we have that comprehensive review of our financial picture. This is more of the Band-Aid on a broken leg, but he has certainly used his expertise within his administration to come down to this particular tax solution as the one that was broadest and fairest and was going to ideally have the least, well, he said, be easiest to understand and implement.
So let's just be clear. The governor is a Republican, albeit a moderate. How will this sit with the GOP lawmakers in the House and Assembly? Will they get behind it?
Well, you know, it's funny while we were talking before airtime that it seems to be only Republicans that can raise taxes in Nevada. And in a way, we've seen that at the national scene. Richard Nixon, when he became president, did all of these amazing things that Democrats had wanted to do for a long time. But there's somehow greater credibility when someone you don't think will do it proposes it. And frankly, that worked for Kenny Gwynn, seems to be working for Brian Sandoval. Within the Republican Party, clearly the extreme right, the conservative fiscal element of the party, didn't find a lot to jump up and down about in the speech last night. But every element of the Republican Party and, frankly, even aspects of the Democratic Party were addressed. At one point, it seemed to be like, well, I'll do this for the Democrats and I'll do this for the conservative Republicans. I'll do this for the Democrats. Then there was one, I'll do this for my wife, I guess. But, frankly, it was, they must have spent forever on this thing, just trying to give a little something to everybody that they can hang their hat on. But in essence, also recognizing at the same time that we're facing great need and the time for great change in Nevada.
Along with the increase in revenue, the governor had a slew of reforms, as you were referring to. Some of these are familiar: charter schools, promises to change collective bargaining for teachers. These are things Democrats won't want to hear. Do you think there's a chance for real bipartisanship in this upcoming session? He will need some Democratic support for tax increases.
Well, he certainly will. And we honestly, in the first few days of the session and the comments that we start hearing from our elected officials will maybe give us a sense of what the real tenor of this session will be. But we don't have the luxury of playing badly together. And I would hope that voters will ultimately hold these individuals accountable if they fail in what is so critical at such a critical time in Nevada. So we've gotten the leadership from the governor. That's his role. And it was probably his finest moment. It's the best speech I think I've seen him deliver. He's comfortable. He's learned. He's come a great deal that way. The message was very clear in it. And I think that Democrats find at least there is this movement on education, which by everybody's measure is about the worst or the worst in America. We don't want to be that state. And if we want to economically diversify this state, if we want the future that Nevada deserves, we can't keep doing things the way we've been doing. So the notion of money attached to accountability and transparency, an assurance that the money has to directly benefit the student or they're not going to get it again. These are the conservative themes that hopefully will bring enough of the Republican Party on board to meet that two-thirds threshold so these new taxes can go into place.
One surprise last night was this creation of a new district for failing schools, and it will be led by none other than former Washoe County Superintendent Pedro Martinez. Any thoughts on that decision, Fred?
Well, that was a surprise. When we were all watching it, the camera seemed to make it to Pedro in the gallery a couple of different times. It was interesting because, in a way, it points to a friendship that I think clearly the two have. And he does recognize a serious problem with the failing 10% of the districts that have been failing. We have done things. We have thrown money at it, and it hasn't resolved. So I don't question the strategy, but it is an interesting choice to lead the charge.
And then just finally, real quick, Fred, would you say this is one of the boldest State of the State addresses we've seen from a governor in recent history?
Certainly in recent history, although Kenny Gwynn was really surprising for us, too, and even Bob Miller did a few things that we certainly were impressed with as governor. But it was a good session for him.
Okay, I've been talking with Fred Locken, who's a professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College here in Reno. And we've been discussing Governor Brian Sandoval's State of the State address from last night. You're listening to Reno Public Radio News. I'm Will Stone.